Does anybody notice anything different about the way that I look this morning? What is it?
Earring.
Oh, I got an earring. That's right. I almost forgot about it. Do you guys like it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? Well, I'm getting ready to turn 40 this year, so I'm having what some people call a midlife crisis. So I'm reverting back to my youth, and I'm trying to be cool. And the first time, I did get an earring when I was 20 in college, and it was right before I started dating Jenny. And she loved it so much that she started dating me, right? No. She saw it, and the night that I was wearing, I first got my earring, I wore it into the cafeteria at our school, Anderson University, and I felt like people were looking at me and talking. And just honestly, I didn't think I was cool enough to pull off an earring. But now that I'm about 40, I think I am cool enough. So we're going to actually, whether or not I keep it is going to be up to you. If you guys like it, I'll keep it. If not, I'm going to get rid of it. So raise your hand if you like it and you want me to keep it. Hey, all right. Okay, raise your hand if you don't like it and you want me to get rid of it. Mom and Dad, you don't like it? Boy, that one's pretty close. I don't know which one won that one. But I think it was get rid of it. So I'm going to go ahead and do what I did in college and just go ahead and get rid of it. It was a magnet. That's what I did in college too. So why would this weird 39-year-old pastor going through a midlife crisis or whatever, why would he come in with a magnetic diamond earring this morning? Well, it's because this is the only earring I could find that was magnetic, that was cheap enough for me to buy. But also, we're going to use it as a sermon illustration this morning. How far will I go to make a sermon illustration, right? Because this morning what we're going to be talking about is how having an ear that is pierced can help us hear from God. So hopefully that at least makes you curious. Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Now these words are in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They each record it, and it's in there six times. And then the only Gospel that doesn't have it, the Gospel of John, John wrote about it later in the book of Revelation, because the guy who wrote the Gospel of John also wrote the book of Revelation. And he has Jesus making this comment eight times. So all the biographers that we learn about who wrote about Jesus, they all had Jesus saying this statement, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, the Jewish ear that would have been trained would have heard some shades from a psalm. And that psalm was, I think it was Psalm 40, verse 6. And it says this, "My ears you have opened." So what Jesus was saying here was something that was similar. It would have reminded the people of this psalm. And that word, where the psalmist is describing having an opened ear, there's a couple of ways that we can take it. The first one I find funny, but it's an excavation term. So it's about digging through really, really dense material to finally get through. So when he's saying, "My ears you have opened," maybe it's that it's really hard. Somebody's hard of hearing. There's a lot of stuff getting in the way. So "My ears you have opened," excavation. God has to work really hard to get us to listen because there's lots of stuff in the way blocking us from hearing what he has to say. The other way that we can understand this is what a lot of commentators think that David was referring to when he wrote this. And that was from the Mount Sinai code that Moses gave in the Old Testament. And so this could be a term, because another way we could say it, "My ears you have pierced." And the shades of the law that it would have been referring to as in the law that Moses gave, a servant, a slave, would serve for 6 years. And then after the term of 6 years was up, if that slave really loved his master and wanted to stay with the master, he would say, "I want to stay with you forever," and he would go through a ceremony. What did the ceremony involve? A pierced ear. And that pierced ear would say to the master, "I'm obedient to you now. You are my master. I want to be with you. I want my family to be with you." So My ears you have opened may have been also, it's an excavation term, and it may have been conveying, I serve you. I'm laying my life down. I surrender. My ears you have opened. My ears you have pierced. I'm yours. So, pierced ear is hearing, it's the attitude of hearing whatever it is that God has to say. The Church of God, we use terms like sanctification sometimes, which really conveys holiness, conveying that I want to be fully obedient to whatever it is that God has to say to me. And we, if you are here this morning, if you're not a Christian, we want to say thank you for being here. We're thrilled you're here. We hope that people come in who aren't Christians yet. Obviously, we do have agenda. As Gerald talked about, we do want to see people experience Christ, the gospel, salvation. But we want you to know we're glad you're here, and it may seem really weird, this idea of serving a God who you can't see or you can't hear with your ears or touch, that we can't use our senses to connect with God like we can another human being. So this idea may seem really strange, like why do Christians serve or say that they belong to God? And it just seems kind of subjective and strange and spiritual. If that's you, we understand it. But we believe that God can speak through different ways, different times. It says he spoke in different ways or various ways throughout different times through different prophets. And they used lots of different illustrations to speak. Some of them were way weirder than a pastor coming in with a magnetic earring. There are people who got these bizarre haircuts, people who wore like yoke of ox, people who would lay on their side for a bunch of days in a row. There were all kinds of really strange ways that the prophets used to speak. And so we believe that God speaks in different ways, and this may seem strange, this idea of serving God or letting him be your master, but we still, our hope is that God will speak to you, or you'll hear God saying something to you this morning. So we are going to look into the story of a prophet named Samuel. Now, Samuel had the book of 1 Samuel starts with a woman named Hannah. And Hannah desperately desired to have a child. And she would go to the temple and pray. And eventually the Lord gave her a son, Samuel. And she gave him back to God by literally giving him to the temple. And he was raised in the temple under the priest Eli. And so Samuel lived there. So picking up with that story in 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." Now, why is the word of the Lord so rare? Doesn't God want to speak? Why was it rare? Well, in the first couple of chapters of this book, and you can go back and read it, I encourage you to do so, but I think we have a clue into why the word of the Lord was so rare. Now, the priest, Eli, was like any human being. He had faults and flaws, and he had some problems to work on, just as any pastor does, right? And it's not just pastors, by the way, it's all of us. But Eli didn't do a very good job of working on his issues either. When he first met Samuel's mom, Hannah, we've been talking about having a heart that hears, having discernment, and Eli didn't have very good discernment. So when he saw Hannah praying and asking the Lord for a son, Eli thought she was drunk. He didn't get it. He was off. And the worst part of it was that he was raising some sons, and he let them in the temple, and they were the worst kind of religious leaders. In fact, they were worthless. Now, that's the Bible's term for these guys, not my term. I don't know about you, but if your name was in the best-selling and most read book of all time, I wouldn't want worthless attached to my name. I don't know. I don't think it could get a whole lot worse than that. But that's what Scripture says about these sons of Eli's, that they were worthless men. Really bad. They were serving in the temple, and they were doing the work of God, supposedly. They were religious leaders, but they were guys who didn't really believe. They were They were taking advantage of women. They were greedy. They were self-focused. They were irreverent. And we could go on and on with adjectives to describe these guys, but we'll just stick with what Scripture says. These were worthless kind of people. They're really doing a lot of disservice. And so it's no wonder that in these days, the word of the Lord was rare. The leadership was very poor. Eli had bad discernment, and he allowed his sons unchecked to do all kinds of terrible things in the name of the Lord. So it's nighttime now, and we're going to go back to the story of Samuel. Samuel's a boy, and it says, "Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said," now this is Samuel, says, "Here I am." And Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said to him, "I did not call, lie down again." So Samuel went and lied down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called for me." So this is sweet. We said Eli struggled with discerning God. He didn't have a great heart that heard. So it's taken him a little while. But finally it says, then Eli perceived. He's finally getting what's going on here. Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lied down in his place. Now right here, thankfully, Eli does something right. He'd been slow to catch on, and he wasn't totally corrupt like his sons. He just didn't have a heart that heard very well, didn't have good discernment. But he's finally getting it, and he offers Samuel some outstanding advice. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." It's good advice, and this is what happened. And the Lord came and stood, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord spoke to Samuel. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." This is essentially a prayer of ear piercing. This is saying, "Speak, Lord, I'm your servant. You are God, your master, and I'm your servant." So Eli taught Samuel to pierce his ear, to have ears, as Jesus said, ears that heard. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Today we're talking about having a pierced ear for prayer, saying, "God, I surrender to you whatever it is that you have to say to me." Hundreds of years after the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel, he spoke to and through another prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied about a teacher that would come. In Isaiah 30, he's talking about the graciousness of the Lord. And he talks about how the people of God will go through adversity. The adversity is part of it. But then he says this, the people of God can take comfort because the teacher will do this. "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." So 700 years or so before Jesus was even born, Isaiah is saying that take comfort, a teacher is coming. And Isaiah made all kinds of prophecies that would be fulfilled in Jesus about a suffering servant who would come and would die. And this is one of those about how there's going to be a teacher coming. And we call the teacher the Holy Spirit. And the teacher says that Isaiah says we would hear a word behind us saying, This is the way. Walk in it. When Jesus came, Jesus said some other things about the voice of God. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Knowing here, and there's a sense of belonging, there's a sense of pierced ears, there's belonging to Christ. This is about having hearts that are surrendered to the will of God and that really are open. This is about seeking His kingdom and seeking His will. Jesus goes on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I think it was over the summer, we did a sermon series on the 23rd Psalm, and Peggy would show up and she would say something every week. Peggy, will you demonstrate? Very good. So, I guess we get an option here. Maybe if you're not the ear-piercing kind and you don't want a pierced ear, maybe another way that we can express it is, Peggy? Bah! Because that's essentially what Peggy is expressing there is, bah, I'm a sheep, I'm the Lord's sheep, I belong to the Lord. And the good news here, the really comforting thing that Jesus has to say, kind of in tandem with Isaiah saying, don't worry, there's going to be a voice behind you saying this is the way, whether it's the right or left, a voice is going to be telling you where to go. Jesus is saying, don't worry too much. Don't be anxious because my sheep hear my voice. They're known, they belong to me, and they follow me. Those who belong to Christ can take comfort. Sometimes we really struggle with this. God, you know, am I hearing God right? Like, is it me? Because I think one of my barriers is I have a high capacity for self-deception. I don't know if anybody else is like that. Man, I can fool myself about all kinds of things. I can convince myself that right is wrong and wrong is right. So I have a real capacity, and I could maybe say something and blame God, and it's really just me. And so there's a part of me like, oh, did I get it right? Is it me or is it God? But Jesus is saying, hey, if you really belong to me, if your heart is open to me, if you're surrendered to me as Lord, you're going to follow my voice and you're going to hear. We can take comfort that the Lord speaks to us. So I want to encourage us. This is the last week of this series on the whisper of God and how we hear God's voice that we can't hear with our ears or that we can't see God, but we can hear that God speaks in different ways. So the prayer of this last week is the prayer that Eli taught Samuel. I want to encourage you to be praying it this week. See what happens. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I want to encourage you, pray it too with open hands when you're praying it. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Indicating that you're open to God's will, whatever it is that God has to say to you. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. This is a prayer that's trying to have ears that hear, as Jesus talked about, eyes that see. This is a prayer of piercing the ears. This is a prayer of buying and saying, I belong to you, God. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Because I think one of the big barriers that we have to hearing God is a lot of times a closed heart. And we don't want to hear whatever it is that God has to say to us, because whatever may be something we don't want to hear. What if God calls us to go to Africa as a missionary? What if God called me to be a pastor? Or I had to go stand up and speak? You know, we maybe are scared of that whatever. What if I had to apologize to someone? What if I had to do something that made me feel really uncomfortable? I had to confess my sin. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. One of the barriers, I think, to hearing God is a closed heart, because it's not a whatever kind of a heart. It's a, hear my terms, God. Speak as long as it's maybe words of love or words of what I want to hear. I just want to hear what I want to hear. This happened to the scribes and the Pharisees. They wanted to hear only a certain thing. They had different interpretations of scriptures. And then when Jesus came, the Messiah talked about in scripture, who also was the Son of God, his way of doing Scripture was different than how they'd interpret it. And he violated their traditions, which were their interpretations of how we were to understand the Old Testament Scripture. And they were closed. They had a closed heart. Even when they saw him performing miracles, he didn't do it in the way that they thought that he should do it. He violated some of their standards that they had. And so they totally missed when God showed up in the flesh because they had hearts of stone. They had closed hearts. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. I want to encourage you, as you pray that this week with open hands, that it's not enough just to pray it either. Jesus said that when we hear his voice, we follow. So there's always action involved too. It's not just a prayer. It's obedience. Obedience is part of that surrender. It's not just words, it's actions. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. So I want to encourage you as you pray it, and maybe as the Lord nudges you, as the Lord whispers, as he nudges, as he speaks, to respond to that nudge. That will complete it, and then it'll give you more confidence, as Amanda Gaddis talked about so eloquently and powerfully last week, about just completing it when we listen and how God shows up when we respond in obedience to what he has to say to us. God wants to use you, and God wants to use me to bless the families of the world. He said it a long time ago to Abraham. And the promise was through Christ, and now as the people who belong to Christ, as the people who follow, he wants to use us to bless the world. But it requires us giving up our own agenda and seeking to hear and to follow. So let's be people who have ears that hear, eyes that see. Let's be open to the new thing that God wants. Let's respond to the nudging. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are the God who sees. You are the God who speaks. Sometimes we can be stubborn and disobedient. Sometimes our hearts can be hard. Thank you for the old promise that you will remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. Thank you for the promise that you will put your spirit in us so that we can walk in your ways. Speak, Lord, your servants hear. Help us to know you better and to follow you more faithfully. Use us to be a part of blessing all the families of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.